Today, we're going to, as Chris so well prepared us for, talk about waiting and waiting for Christ, the anticipation that goes into waiting for Christ to come. And as I was getting ready for the sermon, really the passages we're looking at, we're not even going to get to the arrival of Christ. We're going to get to feel the weightiness of waiting, that weighty glory. And I don't know how you feel about waiting. I have tried to avoid waiting in the line, so now I use Amazon, which is, you know, good and bad. I am a person who tries to not wait as much as I can, but the wait that we're talking about here for Christ to come is, I think, one of the kind of waitings we probably all like the least. It's not just the lines at a store, because we can actually figure out how to get around those if we need to. It is the waiting in the hard places. And those kind of places are not just adult places. I don't know if you remember what it was like to be a child. And maybe hard for you was actually waiting for Christmas. And so your parents might have an Advent calendar to help you get ready. And then later waiting might have been you're waiting for you want to date, or you're waiting to graduate from high school, or you're waiting, maybe you're waiting to get married, or you're waiting to have children. Possibly you are waiting, you have this idea of something good is coming, and we find that that waiting sometimes is hard. We get impatient. It's often a place, if a good thing we're waiting for doesn't come, we start to question, God, where are you? I'm waiting, and you said this thing before me is going to be good. Why am I not receiving the good thing I want? And then there's the waiting. Some of you, if you're a female like me, you waited to have a baby. Maybe it was in the waiting to conceive. Maybe it's in the waiting to adopt. Maybe it's the waiting to actually give birth. Those are not easy places of wait. And then some of you are waiting for children to obey. I mean, sometimes you're waiting for illness to pass. Like, you have this sense that God is going to bring a healing in your family for someone that you love. Recently, my mother-in-law died, and my mom had died many years ago, and we waited with hospice. We waited for that eternal hope of suffering to end. And these waiting places are weighty, are they not? We long for days where we're waiting for something that feels like it's going to come and we're going to experience relief. And I bring that present-day wait before us, because I know in this congregation that some of you are waiting the good. You're waiting that fun thing that's just around the corner. And some of you are waiting in something. You're waiting for the grief to feel not so impactful. You're not maybe looking forward to Christmas right now because it doesn't have the same hope that you've had in years to come. And so what does it look like to be people who wait and wait for a Savior to come? And here's the cool thing about just the reminder that I was preparing for this message, is that we're not just waiting for Jesus's, you know, he has been born, he died, he rose again, and we're waiting for his second coming. Amen. We're not just waiting out here, that we have a present hope in and with us right now. And so as we go back in time to Isaiah, and as Chris told us, the prophet's candle, we're going to go back and we're going to read Isaiah. And in Isaiah, there's a prophecy of Christ, that he is going to come. And we're used to reading that, and we're even used to singing it. But this passage of Isaiah that we're going to read out of 9 is actually also a getting ready for Hezekiah. Hezekiah, if you remember, we did Isaiah a few months back. Oh, it's probably been 6 months. But we were studying through Isaiah, And the Israelites are in a really difficult place. They're in exile. They are in war all the time. They are what we would call an oppressed people. And they are waiting for some relief. So as we get ready to read Isaiah, I want us to be able to know that when we read it. We often just read it as a preparation for the Christ child, but it's also a present prophecy for the Israelites who are waiting. This leads me to our first fill-in-the-blank. So you got a little listening guide. By the way, there's questions at the end. I think you know that they're there, but as we leave today, those help us continue this process. But the first fill-in-the-blank says, the hope of the manger brings light as it was foretold. I said that wrong. The hope of the manger brings light as it was foretold and foretold. That sounds kind of complicated, but this Isaiah passage that I'm going to read from in Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, the passage is a present hope for the people of Israel, which is a foretelling of Hezekiah, and the passage is also a future hope for all of mankind, a foretelling of Christ. And just in your real humanness, can we just be glad for the Israelites that they were going to experience a king that was going to be good? They had Hezekiah, just a little background on Hezekiah. He's a son of Ahaz, who is a terrible king. He caused a lot of sorrow to his people. The Israelites are they're in captivity. They are not where they want to be. And they are not going to be where they want to be for a long, long time. We're not talking about a waiting that's going to be just for a few months or a few years. They are oppressed people who are living with that reality day in and day out. So Hezekiah, and this prophecy is going to promise that a child is going to come. Again, it's both about Christ and Hezekiah, that is going to bring relief. It's going to be a good king that's going to bring relief to the people. Hezekiah, just for those who find this interesting, he is in the genealogy of Jesus. And he is, just like as we are waiting for the return of Christ, the people are waiting for relief. So keep that in mind. I'm going to read this the first time, then we're going to go back and look at it through the eyes of those who were waiting for the Messiah. But right now, let me go back. They are waiting, right? They are waiting for a Messiah, but they are also in need of of someone who will come and set their oppressed world right in the now. And that's really going to be this theme through this whole sermon, is that we have a God that is with us. He was with us in the past. We see that he redeemed his people from the moment sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. He brings men and women who come down and bring hope to God's people who are suffering. We see it all along the way. And in this time, as we read this the story of Hezekiah, and really also the picture of Christ, we have a past hope being fulfilled. We have a present hope that they're experiencing Hezekiah, and we have a future hope that is coming through the Messiah. So read this from the context of what it's like to wait and be people who are desperately in need of hope. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. It should come up here. Yeah. All right. Nevertheless, it starts in verse 1 out of 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. This is Isaiah saying this about God. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be the fuel for the fire. And here's the part you're going to feel more familiar with. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. To that, I'd like to say amen. For them, the present hope what's coming. Can you see it in that passage? And then just hold that reality. It says, for us, a child is born. We can say, oh, that is both Jesus, and that's going to be Hezekiah. Hezekiah is going to come and reign, and he's going to change the reality of the Israelites. And the government will be on his shoulders, Hezekiah and Jesus. He's going to be a righteous king. We know the difference. I mean, we know the difference maybe only subtly, depending on if we like who's in office or not. But these are people who would lose all their rights. They have no rights. Because when the king is destroying them, they feel the reality of that. They feel the reality of that day in and day out. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That one actually, I would say it talks about for sure the character of who God is. And would that be the character of God for that present time or for all time? And I believe it's for all time. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Of his government and peace. The thing is the Israelites are not used to there being a peace that would be forever. They're used to this kind of in and out. So this, I think, is really a bigger picture promise that there will be a government of peace and there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. That looks like it's probably both a picture of Jesus and Hezekiah. And then establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. We know that Hezekiah really actually is a king that was known for his righteousness. But this part that it says, justice and righteousness from that time and on forever. This is such a picture of a worshiping a God who is going to be an everlasting peace, an everlasting kingdom. And that is both for them in the present and in the future. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You know, that is really the picture of what biblical hope is. Biblical hope is that we serve and trust in a God that is both a God who is faithful and has the strength. Faithful and has the strength to do what he has promised. And so as we head into this next part, and I look a little more at what Christ was, the situation in which Christ was living, keep that in mind, that our hope is not the hope that is talked about in Proverbs. There's a Proverbs hope that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when we hope in our circumstances, we are going to feel that reality of not getting what we want. But when we hope in the big eternal hope of God, everything changes. Now, doesn't mean, and that's why I want to keep going back to this place, that does not mean that it doesn't, we don't wonder where we are, where God is in the midst of our hope. If you're in a really hard season right now, you may be going like, I trust the big picture faithfulness of God or the big picture of his strength, but I'm not really actually experiencing it right now. And that is this place where, again, the God that comes near and we ask him to come near in our present suffering. And this leads us to slide number 2 in our fill in the blank that says, the hope of the manger brings light to a present reality. So we've moved from what is promised to Hezekiah in the past into a present reality of what Mary and all the Israelites were in that current present place where Christ is going to come. And just a reminder that we could think that when Jesus is born, that it really looked kind of like a great experience because we have all our nativities. I don't know if you noticed the nativities out there. We have them representing many different countries. But really, in that present time, As Mary and the Israelites are waiting, they're waiting for the Messiah, and they were not the favored people in that time. If you remember, they're sitting under Herod. And the conditions of their time would have been that Herod the Great was the king, and he ruled in Samaria and Galilee. It was a police state. Bob and I just went to the Holy Lands a few weeks ago. We just got back. And we went to Old Jerusalem, and then we passed into Bethlehem, and we spent 3 days there in what is called the Palestinian side. And you guys, it's a huge difference of when you pass over into Bethlehem. And there's a difference. And take this with a grain of salt. It's like going from Disneyland and then kind of crossing into the wrong side of town in some regards. The people were rich and beautiful and loving. We experienced such great humanity in the people we met. But there were many that lived in a constant state of fear. Even when we were there, there was rockets and sounds that were hard. And you realize that the people, the believers there, that's become their norm. And they live in that. And so when you think of, like, when I always think the story of Bethlehem, I think of the starry night and the cute little nativity that Christ is born in. But remember, Mary and Joseph are being called back to their hometown, and or the town of their family. And it's not a good situation. This is not elective. They're having to come. They are oppressed people. And then Mary, we were just talking about this in Sunday school today. Mary, reality is that she was not expecting to have a child. This comes through the declaration of, through the angel. But have you ever had a time in your life where getting together with your family and it hasn't been a great year? You're not necessarily thinking like this is going to be a great family reunion. I wonder what it was like for Mary in this oppressed place that she's experiencing to be called to Bethlehem, be called into that situation. So here we have again, we have people who are oppressed, people who love God, are looking for a Messiah, and then it's going to come about, even though they know in the prophecy that it's going to come through a child. Can you imagine what it was like when the thing you've been waiting for is coming in a child? And so as I read this next passage, just take it in a new way, that the oppressed Israelites are waiting for the promise of something that's going to bring relief to their soul. And it comes in a very different package than what probably was the hope of what relief would be. Luke 1:26, you can follow along in your Bible or up on the screen. It says Luke 1:26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Pause. It's always nice to hear good words when you're waiting. I love that they said, "You're highly favored." Those are good words of affirmation. And the Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." This will be longer than Hezekiah's reign. It will be a kingdom that never ends. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." This goes back to that eternal hope. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. That's quite amazing. You think about even in that situation, you have political unrest. And then you have a woman who's been waiting, Elizabeth's been waiting for a child. And then you have Mary, who hasn't lived long enough probably really to hope for a child. And all of a sudden, in this present day revelation through the angel Gabriel, so much is starting to change in the lives of these people who are waiting. But the people, like Mary knows about this, Joseph's going to know about it, we know Elizabeth knows about it. And then all the people, though, are still waiting, aren't they? They're still waiting in their hard places of life. You're going to hear about the shepherds in the weeks to come. They're doing their regular, the wise men who are waiting far away. I just want to remind us that in this place of people, you know, that we're reading about real people and we're really realizing that God is big and he transcends these places of heart and comes and meets us. But isn't that interesting that we know this story day in and day out, year in and year out, we hear it. And then I guess as I was getting ready, I was like, what is it like to really be waiting on a Savior? And if I look just to the past and look at what has happened in the past, I get kind of stuck and I want to just go to the past and make everything the same, right? Have you ever had those times where we have had family transition? And with transition, some of you else are in transition. Or maybe someone you love died this year, or there's something you're thinking, if I could just go back to that place in life. That is so normal, people. That is so what it is to be human, that we want to go back to places that have been wonderful and joyful. And then we have this present need. Some of you need a present hope. You're like, can you give me a Hezekiah? Can you give me something that I can really wrap my arms around, a present king that's going to rule? And then you have this kind of what feels like kind of a present fulfillment with the Messiah. And we know how the story ends. But then we are still people who are waiting, aren't we? We are waiting and waiting and waiting. We may be waiting for the Christ to come again. And so what does it look like to be people who wait with hope? And so this comes to our third slide. And the third fill in the blank, and it says, the hope of the manger brings an everlasting hope. See, when I get stuck in a hope that's only been fulfilled in the past, I kind of get bound up in my memories. And when I get only stuck in my hope of just, I need present day fulfillment, which is good. If I get just stuck in that place, I get that when that's when the hope of the hope deferred makes the heart sick, meaning like there's not enough present day fulfillment. And then if I only look to the future hope, there's that old saying, they're so heavenly bound, they're no earthly good. You know, I'm just waiting. My only hope is out here. But a kingdom hope is a hope in which God is present and with his people and faithful and has the strength to be that and the tenderness to be that for all of time, past, present, future. And that everlasting hope feels like right now I can feel, like even as I started the sermon, I'm nervous, as you all probably picked up, and I'm kind of down here. But even as I say everlasting hope, I have this sort of like, okay, I don't have to pretend that now is hard. I don't have to think my only hope is in the past or my only hope is in future. But the God of all time is present with me. And so when I read Isaiah 9 through 6, I want you to hold that everlasting hope as I read it. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And do you know in your waiting and your hurt that it feels like there's going to be no end to it? And I know those seasons. And sometimes in those hurting seasons and those waiting seasons, we think, why is that person getting some relief and I'm not? It's hard to hold that reality of what it's like when God comes for all of time and you are wanting a very present peace. And then it goes on in Psalm 103 to say, and I love this hopeful vision, but from God, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. The Lord's love is with them. How in this present day, I mean, we really hold, we're not going to just leap ahead and I'm going to say Christ is born, and we're not going to leap ahead and say that Easter is here and that Christ, in this present day place, while you are waiting, hear the comfort of a Lord that says, the Lord's love is with them. And so as you get ready to go into this Advent, I mean, what, we're December 1st, so you've got 24 more days. And in that, there could be lots of highs and lows. And there could be lots you're looking forward to and lots you're not so sure that you want to do. What is the present hope that you need? What has the past already shown you that God is faithful and a God of strength? How is his faithfulness in the past? How is a trust that he, in a place where you say, come God, abide with me, come be with me right now. And for some of you, as the fear of what is before you is creeping in this way, or you're like, some of us have those places where you're just like, I'm ready, God. Could you come back or could you take me home? What do you need to do the practical day life, day in and day life? If you've got little ones, they're long days. If you've got a sick one, they're long days. If you do anything that, I was talking to some people earlier. If you are a human and you are in relationship with another human, you have some days that are really, really long, right? You long for peace and joy and hope and everybody to just get along. And then the reality is you don't have what it takes anymore to muster up any more strength. Have you ever had that place where you're just like, I really think I know hope in a different way because I don't have any more good to throw at this to make this feel better. And then you go back to this place. And you realize that the fulfillment of Christ's birth, his death, and his resurrection is an everlasting hope. He makes a way through our darkest days. And this isn't just our reality. This is over all a time. Where do you need a present hope? Where do you need a present light? Where do you need to experience the reality of his presence? And with that, as I'm saying that, I don't know if you ever have this when you say words. I do this in counseling where I use words in counseling. And as I'm saying them, I think, what would that be like if you believed that, Amy? I find myself in that really tender place of really grateful for who God has been in the past and really aware that he is present with me and really aware that he is a future glory and that he is an everlasting God, an everlasting hope. And a few days ago, it was still hard. I was preparing this sermon. And so we're going to go into a time of offering, we receive the offering. Ushers, you guys can come forward. I'm going to finish up. And as ushers come forward for us to receive the offering and the tithes, what way are you in need of receiving the hope that God brings through his son? What is the way in which you need to move forward to receive this miracle of the manger, where in a very dark, dark place, light comes in and there's a flicker of hope? In what way are you needing that? In what way are you receiving it? In what way are you offering back? So I'm just going to pray for us. God, we thank you that you are an everlasting hope. We thank you for your faithfulness and your presence in your past. We thank you that you are a God that draws near and is present in our now. And we are thank you that you are hope for the future. We are thank you that you are an everlasting hope. And we are human people who are in need of that hope. And we receive this time of offering, knowing that you have been a God that has already provided much. And out of that, we will be an overflow in both how we offer tangible tithes. Some of us are going to say, God, thank you for your presence. And out of that, may I take the hope of that to others through service or through a kind word. But God, we ask that you would be the God that draws near right now. And we thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.